Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Hi, everyone. I'm here with my co-host, Burl Love, for another episode.
Hello, Sherry.
Burl and I were just talking about what we might talk about, and I told him I only know about one thing, the Futures Commission. But that's actually not true, so we're not going to talk about that today.
I think it'll come up in this discussion, though, because we thought it'd be fun to talk about a story Randy Tucker did.
Let me say who our guest is going to be.
You're right.
We like to tease
Sherry,
that out.
Who is going to be our guest today?
You know what? We are going to welcome back Bob Deck, one of the founding partners of 4EG. He has been on the podcast before and not that long ago, even though time is compressed or I don't know. It was like last July. It seems like longer ago than that. But the Righteous Room, which is smack dab in the middle of the downtown business district, is getting a total refresh. And I wanted to talk about the bigger issues of like how everything's fitting together these days with Court Street and the banks. And they have 23 properties, soon to expand to one more. We'll talk to him about that. But anyway, I wanted to have a larger conversation about downtown with him.
Well, that'll be an interesting conversation, and it does fit into what we're going to talk about before we bring Bob on. Randy Tucker, one of our esteemed members of Team Carl, which
you
are on.
Business reporter.
Business reporter for us, focuses in on a lot of real estate and development issues, but a lot of different things, too. He partnered with Sidney Franklin to do the Future of Downtown series, which we wrapped up at the end of last year.
But it's an ongoing topic. Yeah.
So this is right in the smack dab in the middle of that conversation. And that's a story he did today about a study of how the recovery is going on post-COVID.
Faster than most major metro cities. So that was like a great headline to read.
Yeah, it was. So the University of Toronto, our friends in Canada, did a study that looked at a couple different indicators about, you know, our downtown areas recovering. Cincinnati made the list, the only Ohio city on the list. There are a few Canadian cities on the list. But it boils down to something we've talked a lot about on this podcast, and that the recovery is not based on people coming back to work. It's based, you know, it's what's driving the recovery here and in a lot of cities are the cities that are doing a good job getting people to come down to eat, live, and play. That's why Cincinnati made this list. And it seems to be a lost cause trying to get people back into traditional office spaces to work at least 5 days a week.
I mean, definitely with the 5 days a week. I think we might hear some business news coming up, but, the employees are looking to work hybrid. And so that's the whole, I mean, the Cincinnati Chamber is really, they're still kind of doing like the meet me downtown. They're trying to get people out and about downtown from their work day, go out to lunch, stay and patronize the businesses. But this study says it's working.
Right. And like a lot of studies that track people, and this is the kind of the creepy part about it, they used mobile phone data to show where people were. So like, you know, even if you don't have your tracking on, so like, I'm sure the Coolidges, you and Alex, you allow Alex to follow your every move with your phone, right?
I don't.
You don't?
I think it's the Scorpio in me. We don't really follow each other. Although the truth of the matter is, like, I talk on the phone so much and text so much, pretty much knows where I am anyway.
But, you know, it's amazing the data that can be pulled from the fact that most people are carrying a mobile phone. And so they are able to track, you know, increases in activity in urban areas. And Cincinnati has had one of the fastest recoveries post-COVID.
Well, Dave, we'll
number
see.
One.
Go ahead.
Surprising to me, Minneapolis.
You know what? I've never been to Minneapolis,
what?
But it is not surprising to me, honestly.
A cosmopolitan woman of the world like you.
I don't know anyone there. I think that's why.
I mean, Prince. Well.
Wow. I would like to go there, but I always hear great things about everyone I know who goes to visit there, like speak super highly of it. So I believe that.
Don't go in the dead of winter.
Oh, that's true.
But it's lovely this time of year. For those interested, I'll read the top 10 here. We got Minneapolis, Ottawa, and Montreal, followed by Chicago, and then right down the river from us, Louisville and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati then. Which, what ties those last three together? River towns? Maybe there's an edge if you have river is running through it.
There could be. I will say, I was going to say, if they're tracking my data, which they might be, they'll see that I was downtown on Tuesday night for dinner. And then it's Thursday afternoon. It's lovely out. I'm fresh off having lunch at the Moreline House, which I haven't been to in a while. We sat in this big balcony overlooking the river.
Well, another thing that this story points out is that most of the activity, and this is makes sense since we were talking about it's not the destination for workers like it used to be. The most activity is after business hours. I was downtown for dinner Monday at Prime.
Okay.
And downtown was bumping.
Tuesday night, too.
On a Monday, I was really surprised. I was parked at the office here, so I was walking back, and Prime was full for a Monday night. Brew Burger, which is right across the street and has outdoor seating. It was a lovely night Monday. Their outdoor patio was filled, and there was just a buzz of people downtown. I deliberately walked through Fountain Square just because I wanted to see on my way back. And March 1st Brewery, which also has some outdoor seating, was bumping as well. The only restaurants that were not busy were the ones that close, that aren't open on Monday. So like the newly opened Davidson on Fountain Square, that right now not open for dinner on Monday. So anecdotally, I'm not surprised, at least from my observations, that we made this list, because it does feel like the activity has returned downtown, at least in terms of the dining scene, you know, people coming down just to hang out, you know, people coming down for events.
I do wonder, well, first of all, both of us are talking about vibrant times without games. There was not, then neither one of these were game days.
No, the Reds were out of town.
But I wonder, we are a small, big city, and it is not that hard to get downtown, no matter where you live in our region. And I wonder if that plays into why we're having this kind of recovery, because we can get downtown.
I think that's part of it, you know? I think,
the study didn't look at that, but I'm happy. Right. If they wanted to do a follow-up, I'm here for them.
Well, you know, it's all tied together. And, you know, when we talk about your favorite topic, the Futures Commission, which we're going to get into a lot of that over the next, you know, year or so, it all ties together. You know, you have to have a city that is fiscally sound so that it can leverage growth from some of the more organic things that happen.
The one thing that we didn't talk about the Futures Commission last week that I do want to stay, because it is the thing.
So we are talking about the Futures
really
Commission
quick.
Day. This
and
is going to be
it goes
this
to,
is going
to
be the new streetcar on this
who
podcast.
We're talking about, which is John Mueller, and the quote was in the original story, but he said it both to me directly in an interview, and he said it to CEO of P&G, said it to me directly in a quote, and he said it during a press call about the Futures Commission, is that growth must be planned. It is not accidental. And so the Futures Commission really is at least a blueprint to talk about so many things, but that's really like something that has stayed with me. It's been a week now since it's come out, and like the idea that it doesn't just happen, everything that really does take the planning. So that is a lesson I kind of took out of it.
Well, there you go. Should we bring on our guest?
Yeah, we'll talk about downtown some more.
Let's do it.
Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. I'm excited to welcome Bob Deck from 4EG. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. So as we record, Did you have to like run over from the righteous room, which is getting a refresh?
We've been working
people for that.
Yeah, we've been working hard on it. Lots of different people, but righteous room's got a special place in my heart just from how it started and how long it's been here in Cincinnati. And so it's exciting to sort of give it this rebirth that I think it deserves.
You know, and it really is in the perfect location, across from the Aronoff Center. It's like right in the middle of everything. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to veer off from the banks, you can go up to the middle of downtown. If you want to, you know, pivot down from OTR and Court Street, which is a thing now. I don't even think Court Street was really a thing when the last time we were talking. Right. It's easy to get to. It's like a stop on the way of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for us, it was... as we were getting started in our, I guess, bar career, call it, that we didn't even know, when we met 3CDC back in 2009, and things were just sort of unraveling with them citywide. And so it was a chance for us to develop our first bar from scratch. And so that's why it taught us so many things going through that process. And we really wanted to make something that was unique and different for Cincinnati that they had never seen before. And I think we accomplished that when we opened it.
What would you describe the vibe as when you first opened?
I would say we took a lot of influence from like old Chicago style, long shotgun type, long shotgun type bar with exposed brick and just that sort of that Midwest Chicago feel that it came across with.
And so that has been replicated a lot. That's like a thing now, mm-hmm. especially in like the older spaces in Cincinnati. That's mm-hmm. kind of, you know, a go-to for a look. And what does the new Righteous Room look like?
So I think we kept some of the things.
I mean, I'll see later, but I don't know yet.
We kept some of the things that were definitely unique to Righteous Room. Its back bar and its bar top. But it really, you know, light fixtures and wallpaper. We did a whole new mural in the back. And the back was very unique because it was open air. And just over time, we decided to enclose it now with like an open pergola structure that covers it at times when we need it. We updated all the lighting, the artwork, the wallpaper, and we used a local designer here, Corey Rainier, that did a phenomenal, you know, phenomenal job.
Has Corey done like other bar spaces?
She has. We've worked on and off with her on several different projects, and this one, I think she really nailed it with some of the things that she did.
Do you feel like 2009 was a while ago, unfortunately? Do you feel like in 2024, people are looking for a different thing in when they're going out than we did in 2009?
I do. I think they are looking for different things. I think some things have stayed the same. But definitely people are looking for experiences. I think the overall expectations in Cincinnati since 2009 and putting Righteous Room there have gotten a lot higher. I think the food scene here is incredible now with all the chefs we have, and their spaces are well designed and well planned out. I think all the different other bar operators have created some great spaces here in Cincinnati.
So do you think about how you fit in with everything else, or you just try and be a trailblazer when you're...
A little of both. Okay. We hung our hat at Righteous Room. I used to take a poll of people that work downtown, and they were always telling me, oh, we really want a place that has a great happy hour and a nice place we can stop to after work that doesn't, you know, kill the pocketbook. And so when we opened up Righteous Room in 2009, we created our half price happy hour. It's been a huge success and staple ever since. We're bringing it back with the Righteous Room Reimagined. And I think people have always appreciated it being that like go-to spot right after work, especially as you mentioned, where it's located downtown right across from the Aronoff Center.
I do feel like Igby's is a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. I almost forgot about Half Price Happy Hour. I have to tell you, I mean, like after the pandemic, that wasn't really a thing anymore. It was just like things changed, like the footprint of things changed a lot. And it's like you weren't really thinking about that. It's like, where could you go? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that will be a big draw.
Mm-hmm. It was out of our portfolio, Righteous Room was really one of the last for us to get open and sort of get back to where I feel it needed, you know, needed to be, just because of where it was located. And, you know, we've talked about it before, just it took a little while for people to get back downtown and all, you know, all that kind of stuff. So
do you feel like people are back downtown? What's kind of, so let's talk a little bit too. You have 11 spots in downtown and OTR.
Yes.
In not that big of a space, but they are kind of dotted all over in every corner. So what is your take on where we're at?
I think we're in a good spot. I love this city. I will always be invested in this city. It's endured so many different things, including the pandemic. And I think, even if you would ask me 6 months ago and then 6 months ago before that, I think we've continually improved, with people, coming back downtown, working back downtown, going to events back downtown. So how long that takes, you know, it's hard to say, but I definitely see improvement, you know, every chunk of time that I kind of turn back and look at it.
We are pivoting. We've written a lot about this at the Inquirer, pivoting towards residential. Mm-hmm. With a lot of the new things going up are these residential, a lot of people apparently coming, all these towers. Does that bode well for like the bar business of like going out after work? Is that foot traffic?
Absolutely. I'm with you. Sometimes I'm like, are there that many people moving here? Which is wonderful. But I think the more hotels that we see coming in and the residential, the convention center, I think, is going to be amazing. That project for downtown. So I'm excited about the residential. I think it's only going to help all businesses, from not only mine, but everybody's business down here.
Do you feel like, so we're calling it a convention center district. It's really like that project is, it's July. It really kicks off like 18 months, big project. Do you think we'll see a lot of things pop up around the convention center and it's not just a convention center and a hotel?
I do. I think the development that I've seen, I think it will be a major improvement to the city. I think we'll start winning conventions that previously we never won before. And I think something like that will be a major attraction for all businesses around that area and then just spreading out throughout the entire downtown.
I mean, we did just have a big, more like the last big convention, I think. And I was out in over the Rhine. You saw everyone with like their lanyards. It had been a minute since I'd seen that. And I was like, oh, I remember all of this. And right. And if you work at the Inquirer, like at Plum and Third Streets, mm-hmm. then you know that there's, you know, strangers here because everyone's driving the wrong way on Elm Street. And it's like, aw.
right. No, I think it's exciting. I think Cincinnati has continued to grow. I think we've adapted to all the different things that have happened over time. And I'm biased, but I love this city. So we're going to continue to be in this city. I know it seems like we have a lot of places, but they're spread out. They're different. We love them all, each in their unique way. I think I mentioned this before, but our industry, the hospitality industry, is very tight in the city, and the chefs all know one another and the owners all know one another. And so we support each other.
So you're up to 23 properties with one to come. Is that right?
We got one coming up. Yes, we
do. All right. So tell us about that, because that is like a big expansion.
It is. It's not quite in Cincinnati. we're heading down to Naples, Florida. There's a development down there called Mercado. And we're going to open what will be our third Beeline down in that Mercado development. in Naples. So
can I just assume, since it's in Naples, that it's like fancy?
it's gonna be a little bougie. Yes.
Okay. Oh, I love sure. the word bougie. Yeah. All right. But what drew you to Naples? I mean, you will find a lot of Cincinnatians there for sure. But what drew you to say we're gonna really go south?
So we started talking about Florida a little bit a couple years ago and wanting to get into that market. And as we were looking at, East Coast or West Coast, we started looking on the West Coast. And ironically, what kind of fell into our lap a little bit is North American Properties, which is from here in Cincinnati. We did a project with them at Newport on the Levee, which was a beeline. And they had purchased the Mercado development down in Naples. So
I did not realize that.
They had seen our, obviously, they know our product, the beeline. We've worked with them before. And they had a great spot that... that just fit what they thought would be beeline. So we traveled down there and worked, lo and behold, worked out a deal. And now we're opening up a beeline in Naples.
There's worse places to go visit. All right, I'll come down to Naples.
So, it's very exciting for many different reasons. Like I said, we've been wanting to kind of get into that market down there. This was a way that allowed us to, and I've got a couple key people here in Cincinnati that have been with me in management for quite a while. They're moving down there to open up that location and then hopefully build out from there and open a few more.
Okay. So do you have like a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan? Like, what does that look like?
We do. I've been to Tampa, Sarasota. We've been up and down, like I said, St. Pete. Just right now looking at what areas would allow, what concepts we have to go into some of those areas. And I think over the next 5 years, we'll have several places down there.
Tampa's
on the West
so
Coast.
Fun to go out in. Tampa's a fun city.
I would agree. Tampa is, it was a great city to visit for sure.
So started in 1996. Mm-hmm. In 1990, could you go back in time? Like, what would you tell your 1996 self? Do you think believe
man. Yeah.
Where you are?
We worked so hard back then. Things I know now, I would do a little different.
Wouldn't we all?
I know. But I mean, it was a wonderful, I think, beginning. We all four, there's four partners. We worked in the business every day. We still do. And we grew organically with it. And so there's nothing that all four of us haven't done in the business. And so the people that we've hired and the team, it's really now about them. We have such great management teams. We have a great shared services office structure that handles all the general administration for our locations. Those teams,
the things you never think about when you go in for a drink.
right. But our HR team, our finance team, our marketing team, and all our operations teams, they are running the company right now. So my job really has gone from operations and all my partners into more growth. If it wasn't for our teams, we wouldn't be where we're at today.
Do you feel like, because you have, from when we last talked, some different, not necessarily way more properties, but some different properties, but do you feel like that is like just how it is in the entertainment business, that things change as people's tastes change?
They do. And even from us, we a long time ago, we opened up smaller places. We're opening up a little bit larger footprint locations just because of what we see people like and what they want and what our capacity is to even handle that size. But so that's how we've adapted a little bit. And I think we'll continue to just follow some trends. Like I said, people like to do stuff now instead of just going to a bar and that's it.
I agree. It is experience. Who wants to take pictures and what does that seem like?
Right.
Have people's alcohol consumption shifted in a different way?
I think a little bit for sure. There's definitely a stronger non-alcoholic movement. We've seen that with NA beer we carry. We've seen that with mocktails, especially the month of January. Dry January has definitely caught on. So we've adapted to those. And it depends on the place. Some places we sell more, some places we don't sell as much. Predominantly, it just depends on the place. We have people that love our craft cocktails. We have a place that's now doing food down at the Banks, Killer Queen. We have a pizza that we've incorporated. So we're not married to one concept. We've kind of adapted, and we look at a neighborhood or look at a area and say, okay, what would work here for the people that are here? What do they want or what's missing? And then we try to develop a concept from there.
I mean, Court Street with, and I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, because even when I look at it, I'm like, am I pronouncing it right? Pilar?
It's pretty, good. Yeah, Pilar, yeah.
Pilar, okay. So that really fits into the Court Street concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, Court Street has come so far.
And we've been waiting. But yes.
I feel like it's there.
It is. This year is going to be amazing on Court Street. Several other restaurants have opened. That whole corridor, I feel like, has, you know, a breath of life that it never had before. Very walkable. And I think now what they want it to do and what it will continue to do is connect over the Rhine to the Central Business District. And I think we're there.
No, I agree. And then you're going to pivot around and make a left and be in the Convention Center District.
Yes.
And then you can circle around to the Banks.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
I'd love to catch up. Yeah.
Anytime.
All right. Well, thanks, you guys. Thank you for Bob for coming on again. I always enjoy talking about downtown. And so this was a good part of my day to like really reflect on having so many things so easily accessible. It's why I love living here.
Well, I love living here too, Sherry, very much so. I want to talk to you about something that you attended and is still in the news.
Not surprisingly.
As we sit here right now, at least, recording on a Friday before this podcast drops, is that you went to the live recording of the Kelce Brothers podcast.
I did, and I went as a viewer, I guess. Technically, I was doing some research since I have a podcast. But I went with one of my friends.
Do you think we could fill the arena at UC? Do you think it's possible?
I don't. I wish we could, though.
I don't think so.
Honesty is the best policy here.
We can aspire for
one day. Yeah. We can. You know what, though? I will say a big takeaway from the podcast point of view is you do have to have really high energy. This is something that Jason Williams talks about a lot because, you know, he goes on WLW and like high energy, super important. And they definitely brought it. And it was just such a great evening. And they clearly love the University of Cincinnati. It was like filled with moments.
Give me your favorite two moments of that recording. And just, you know, in case there are some of our listeners that don't know what we're talking about, just, you know, Jason and Travis Kelce, both NFL football players. Travis Kelce, of course, known for not just being on the Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs, but the significant other of one Taylor Swift. They went to the University of Cincinnati for their college football careers, and they came back to their alma mater to a packed arena to
as a way to raise money.
Right. And I think also just to they still have Cincinnati in their hearts. You know, they didn't have to come back here and do that.
They do. They said one of the questions that somebody asked was, what was your favorite, which was your favorite place? And they said Uncle Woody's, which it turns out from social media they went to after. I should have been a better reporter than that and predicted that. so they said Uncle Woody's.
There's some precedence there because if I'm not mistaken, Jason Kelce had his NFL signing party.
He did. At he Uncle talked Woody's. About it.
Yeah.
And what it was like, and like, you know, it wasn't like the superstar celebrities that they are now. And they talked about like just kind of standing in the corner and doing it and everything.
So
my favorite moments, if you asked me beforehand, I would have said, and I bought tickets to go before I even knew Joe Burrow was going to be like one of the main guests. If you asked me before, I would have said, well, it was Joe Burrow, right? Which was amazing. And he was so relaxed. And I haven't seen like an interview. Just he was speaking to fellow NFL football players, and like it was a really good interview because they were on the same wavelength. So, but anyway, that was great. But my favorite part were just their interaction with the college students, where they had all of these games against each other, like fun, different kind of bull riding, spelling bees, like just really, we'll talk about this in a second probably. We did. There's two baby pools. There, and so we're sitting there. We got there a little bit early. You had to wait in line. And they're filling these pools with something that is brown, like blow up baby pools. And we were sitting
something
there.
Something that is brown.
And we were like, what is it? And it finally dawned on us that it was Skyline. But you wouldn't necessarily think that that's what they were doing.
Skyline is expensive if you buy it by the pint. I wonder if they came up with some facsimile.
Feel like they were some sort of sponsor. No, it seemed like it was really
There's
Skyline.
Real Skyline.
Yeah. And then the other moment was like the surprise moment at the end. It was really this touching moment where they had like a mini graduation ceremony because neither one of them had walked in the graduation ceremony. Neville Pinto came out in all his robes. And
President,
they,
University of Cincinnati, yes. President Neville Pinto came out wearing really, his full-blown yes, graduation
Donna
day
was
robes.
Crying. His, Travis was crying. It was really sweet.
You know, those men can cry at the drop of a hat. I'm not criticizing them. I'm that way,
that.
Too.
I appreciate
you know,
that.
I mean,
even yeah. though I'm the only one of us is crying on the podcast, but okay.
I feel like I'm your Barbara Walters.
Maybe.
I can make you cry. Yeah. All right. Well, I kind of have some FOMO that I didn't go. That would have been fun to witness in real hand. But people
so
once said it was just like the energy was off the hook. And of course, the biggest moment, I think, in terms of when the crowd lost its mind was when Joe Burrow walked in.
Definitely. Yeah, that was very... Well, you're just really seeing them up close, which you don't always get a chance to do. So it was exciting. But the interviews with the other guests, the whole thing was just great. And they did a good job and ended up being indoors because it rained and it was probably better than it was at Nippert outside.
Yeah. So
both of them, it came up more than one time having to run the stairs as a football player and what it was like to run up and down those stairs at Nippert Stadium as part of the practice.
Now, did you think for a minute that Taylor Swift was actually going to walk in and surprise everybody like some people thought was a possibility?
Not the day of, but I did think it would be possible that she would come early on because of the eclipse was the same week. You guys, I slept so long on Saturday. I was so tired. But because the eclipse was the same week, I was like, well, maybe they're going to do something for the eclipse together and then she'll kind of stay around, go up to Cleveland Heights. Who knows? But I thought, but then by the time we were getting closer, covering the city, you know what a city looks like to prepare for a celebrity to come. And this city did not look like it was preparing for a celebrity to come. So I was like, no, she's not coming.
All right. Well, glad you went. Before we wrap up,
we want to say thank you.
We need to say thank you to our friends at City Beat, particularly their readers, because yes. a certain podcast that we are big fans of ourselves was voted number two in the best podcast
it
of
was.
The city. That would be the That's So Cincinnati podcast. So thank you, readers of City Beat and City Beat for putting that best of together that they do every year. It's one of my favorite editions of City Beat. Sherry,
where did we fall behind?
Oh yeah, people might want to know
Cincinnati Zoo Tales.
And you know what?
We can't beat Thane.
I'm okay being, you know, second fiddle to Cincinnati Zoo Tales. That's quality podcast, that right there.
It is.
And it's, you know, we love our friend Thane Maynard from the zoo. But, you know, we're gunning for them next year. Like, Thane, be on the lookout. We're going to go
for
number one next year.
And thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it.
We very much appreciate it. It's very, very fun and humbling when people will run into us and talk about something that they heard on the podcast, which it's, you know, you like us, you really like us.
That kind of moment, yeah.
Yeah, that's that kind of moment. But kidding aside, you know, we really... I value anyway the feedback that we get and the ideas for guests. And when people ask me about, you know, different issues that they've heard us talk about on the podcast, keep those suggestions coming in, because I consider this, speaking to the listeners now, your podcast. We're here for you. So you know how to find me, you know how to find Sherry. Hopefully we can be number one next year, because it would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
All right. So thanks, everybody. Should we wrap it up?
Yes. Thank you for listening to That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of The Inquirer and Cincinnati.com.
That's So Cincinnati is sponsored this week by Cincinnati.com, the online home of The Inquirer. If you would like to sponsor an episode listened to by thousands each week, not as many thousands as the Kelsey Brothers podcast, but that's okay.
That would be impossible.
Email me personally at belove. @cincinnati.com.
That's So Cincinnati was produced today by Phil Didion. Lisa Gillespie books our guests. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and share us with a friend.
And finally, if you value local journalism, please consider a digital subscription to The Inquirer. Just click on subscribe at the top of cincinnati.com. And remember, I'll stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. It must be exhausting always rooting for the antihero.